Thanks for arranging the pizza and the pizza lunch.
Yeah.
And again, save the date, Shabbos Zachar. This is the time when we have a Shabbos together. So please save the date.
Shabbos Zachar?
What?
Shabbos Zachar? Like March 18th or something? Shabbos before Friday.
The Torah tells us in this week's parasha, "Vatat tzaves bnei Yisrael." So, pasuk shab means tzaves, tzivoy, lashon tzivoy, command. But there's a or a chayim hakadosh, which gives a different pshat in tzave. Not a simple pshat, but the Gemara has a lashon. Really an Aramaic word. Safsa. Safsa means when you get together, camaraderie, company. Company. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh was saying that Tetzaveh means that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to accompany Bnei Yisrael. In other words, the Zohar says, is Pashtusa the Moshe b'chol dor v'dor. That Moshe Rabbeinu is Malave every Talmud Chacham in every generation. There's still a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu in every Talmud Chacham. So Atat Tetzaveh, you Moshe Rabbeinu are going to accompany Bnei Yisrael, the Talmud Chacham, in the future generations. So Tetzaveh Loshen Tzavso. Loshen Tzavso. Accompany. So I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne in Eretz Yisrael, the Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, Rav Goldbach, always used to say, you know, there were certain times in the year that he had special tishin together. So he said, you know, there's sometimes in the that we're in the base medrash learning, and sometimes we should be together b'tzafsa. We should be together, you know, singing together and eating together and schmoozing together, etc. And that's so he, in other words, he wanted that everyone should participate in all the aspects. Let's just say we're coming to the learning, but we're not coming to the tish and stuff like that. So that was his word. That sometimes it should, there should be b'lima, and sometimes just b'tzafsa. So thinking about this luncheon, that word, and the Or Chaim HaKadosh, putting it all together, so this is the idea of tzafsa, of sitting together, schmoozing, etc. That's why anyone is here for Shabbos. We do this on a weekly basis on Shabbos, but not everyone is here for Shabbos. But if you're always here for Shabbos, you're always welcome. I try to go over to people. Sometimes I can miss somebody or something, so you come over to me. You say, I'm going to be here for Shabbos. It was, Shabbos is a good time. Even though, you know, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the Iker Zman of having guests is Yontif. You know that. The Zohar HaKadosh says that if a person has a Yontif meal and he doesn't invite the Aniyim, so the Pasuk says in Malachi, Perish Chagechem, that your Chag is like perish, it's like dung. So the Zohar darshins, Perish Chagechem, the low Perish Shabbatchem. That the Chag is perish, but a Shabbos, eat alone, that's okay. But Lemaisa, in our door, we have to take advantage of the Shabbosim also. That's where Rabbi Richter, his Rabbi in the in the high school, told me once that his father-in-law, Rabbi Abe Stern, he was he was machadish. What was he machadish? The concept of a Shabbaton. That was his chiddush. Before that, there wasn't such a thing going away for Shabbos and going to a concept of Shabbaton. He was like, you know, that's poshut Shabbaton, of course, a Shabbaton. But he started this whole notion of Shabbatons, and CSY Shabbaton, other Shabbatons. So because in this door, if you're going to wait only for Yontif to get together b'tzafsa, so it's not going to be so good. We have to do it on a more frequent. This door needs more chizik, so we need to get together more often than less often. You know, like by Rev Wilson's Twitter, they have a Shabbos Achim, like Friday night, Shabbos Achim. You know, people are getting together. This is Mechazik. But Medina, really, like the Metzach Chacham says, Shabbos is a time to really be alone. Like the Rav Soloveitchik speaks about the lowly man of faith. So he says, that's what Shabbos is, the lowly man of faith. You know, you and Ribbono Shel Olam contemplate. And Yontif is the time that we all get together. That's why Shabbos, there's Isurim to foster the idea of being alone. In Yontif, you can carry Tzorach HaChol Nefesh, Mitoch, to try to bring people together. And that's, because, like, it's also, the Yerushalmi says that you can't, I remember, Yerushalmi says that the Koshi Hitiru Lomar, to say good Shabbos even, because he tiru. It was really Shabbos, you're not allowed to speak. And because they were matir, you could say good Shabbos to somebody. So I was, I once gave a shir, the Nissel was once listening so to that shir, so he said, oh, you see from here that Shabbos is really supposed to be alone. Yeah, that's the Yerushalmi. Because he tiru. So they'll let you speak a little bit. Because he tiru. So Rav Scheinberg was on the Madrega, you know, that he didn't speak on Shabbos at all. Only Divrei Torah. But you want to have a conversation with him until you come back another day. Shabbos is not the time that he had, that he spoke. No speaking on Shabbos. And the Mefarshim in the Yerushalmi say the Pshat is because Hashem was Shabbos on Shabbos. So what does it mean Hashem was Shabbos on Shabbos? What did he do Malacha with Dibur? So his whole Malacha was Dibur. So his Shvisa from Malacha was Dibur. So therefore, we should be Shovis be Dibur. That's so because Shehitiru, you could say good Shabbos. But in our generation, it's like Harosh Shoah, that Halvai, we should not speak Divrei Chol, but we could speak, you know, to your friends on Shabbos, etc. But Yom Tov is the real time of Tzafsa. You know, that's the Lashon of Gemara, my cotton. The Ches there with the Chassan, you know, whether we has a nega, whether we pass him on his negoim, because we don't want him to, you know, he's a Chassan, we don't want him to be tzaras during the Shiva Yimei Mishnah. So by the Shiva Yimei Mishnah, he should be together with people, not he should be Michutzla Machana. So that the Gemara in that context speaks about Tzafsa. That Gemara in Moikot, Atat Tzaveh. So that's what we're here today to, you know, to schmooze a little, talk a little, ask questions a little bit, and so we'll sing a niggun, and then you have questions, then we'll try to speak about the questions, and then we'll bench, and then you'll have time to do whatever you need to do during lunch, and then we'll come back and have shir. That is the story. You know what's a good nigga? Mahati Sarasakla Kayami Sikhasi Mahati Sarasakla Kayami Sikhasi Mahati Sarasakla Mahati sarasecha, kayami sichasi. Mahati sarasecha, kayami sichasi. Mahati sarasecha, Kalayavi sikhasi, Mahati sarasecha, Kalayavi sikhasi, Mahati sarasecha, Kalayavi sikhasi.
As Dinei Torah, what should we be focusing on in terms of learning? Meaning, the Torah is not, the Torah doesn't prescribe for us like a set, you know, daily schedule of what we're supposed to do.
Daily dose.
A daily dose, yeah. Torah doesn't prescribe like a daily dose of what we're supposed to learn, or we're supposed to do, or how we're supposed to do it. So I guess, what does the Rebbe recommend? How should we know whether to study? You know, to study more Tanakh than Gemara, to study more Gemara than Tanakh, to study more Halacha, especially when we have so many things going on and a lot of competing values and interests.
Excellent. Excellent question. So the answer is like this. When you're in yeshiva, the priority should be what you're learning in yeshiva. So we wrote the recipe for you. That was, we're learning brachas this year, so that's what you should be focusing on. If you're going to be focusing on something else, that we're learning this, so you're losing out on the. So that should be your main focus. Whatever, well, when you're in yeshiva, whatever. If you're in yeshiva and most yeshivas are going to be Kama, but they want to meet to learn a different masechta this year, so halachim. So this way, but in the masechta we're learning, you know, everything we learn in Alibi de Hilchasa. So focus what we're doing, and then, you know, there's a chiv to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, And then, if there's other time, I don't know, you know, there's not so much time left if you're in school here. There's not so much time left. So on Shabbosim, you could, you know, you want to take out another sefer and take out the Shem Shmuel or the Sveis, some other sefer, and chill and learn it. So when you get out of yeshiva, so that's going to be a different thing. When I'm holding it, then. And then my basic thing is that when you're at yeshiva, you have to just put yourself into a misgaret that you'll be learning. You know, whether you go to the Rav Shir or you have a chaburo, you have a friend, you know. And even if it's not exactly, you know, the Gemara has how much you're supposed to learn. This door, you should just be learning. You feel a kesher in Torah. So when you're yeshiva, you should be learning. Sometimes people don't, you know, fit in with what they're learning in yeshiva. So then that's a different story. But a regular guy, you fit in what you're learning in the Torah. That should be your focus. And then it's not going to be sad. And in other words, you shouldn't worry what's going to be. You know, when am I going to learn? Call it. You know, you're learning what we're doing, and that should be your focus now. And what will be next year? Should we come back and learn more? You know, but and we're not going to make a thing of what's going to be for the next 80 years. We're not going to do that. So, but the thing is, you always have to be connected to learning, whatever it is, you know, and whatever will get you connected. You know, I have one Talmud who is by himself, but he learns Masechtas after Masechtas, and he has that discipline. Other people need to go to a shiur, they feel that more. Some people, you know, like Rav David Cohen said once in his shul, he said, you know, not everyone has to be learning Gemara, Shagasari, and Tosis. Some people, you know, Chumash Rashi, they fill all the areas. The Torah is broad enough, but the key is everyone should have that connection. But in terms of what you should be learning now is what we're doing now, and there's not going to be so much of the free time, you know. Sometimes people are so learning other things, and then they don't know what we're learning here. So that should be the priority now when you're here.
Why you this upcoming talented having a co-ed talented?
Yeah. So my question is it really YU or is it that Mount Sinai?
No, they're doing a
chink.
They're
doing a chink.
Yeah.
YU is
definitely
involved in
project.
I don't think it's in the.
No, it's not
YU,
but they're doing a
chink. Not Mount Sinai. I thought it was Mount Sinai.
Pretty
sure it's chink. Okay, so what does that mean? They're having every Shabbos they have men and women there.
Yeah.
So it's not such a chiddush. You know. If they would have it here in the yeshiva, then that would be problematic. Because the yeshiva shouldn't be having co-ed events in the yeshiva. We could have co-ed events to make, to make shiduchim, and it's good. You know, people, our table is co-ed. You know, we have sometimes girls ask to come. And so it's, like I once said, the world is co-ed. What can I tell you? So you have to, try to make shiduchim. That's the most important thing. You know, just time, people need to get married. I'm very involved in shiduchim, very, very much. I'm not an official, that's how my, but everyone, you meet someone, I spend a lot of time during the, involved in a lot of people call up about, about this one, about that one, I'm not one of these professional shadchanim that's their thing, but you should always be involved in people, so you know your friends better than anyone else, because your friends, when they interact with you, the guard is down. They can be the way they are. When they interact with older people, it's not as natural. So the people who know the friends the best are their friends. The male friends, the female friends, that's who they know each other. So that's, I don't think that's what I'm saying. So the fact that they're having it in Schenck is for young married. So it's a co-ed environment. If they would have it here in the yeshiva, then that would be, even though you could say the same svara, but there has to be certain things are important, but should not be done in a place that is miyuchad for to be the yeshiva shouldn't. It depends. If you think just stop to go to, if you think that could help with shiduchim, I think that's a good thing. There's stam as a, I don't know if there are going to be people there who are facilitating shiduchim or not. I don't know. Because he doesn't think so. and then you also sometimes have to wonder what's the motivation. Is it just time we want to have more of a co-ed environment, to be more like a regular? Because what's the college campus life is all about co-ed. So if you're doing it for that, then there's what to, that's already could be a red flag. If you're doing it for shiduchim, that's bad, but you should do it to try to attract people to come here. So therefore we should do co-ed. If you're doing it, you want people to get married, that's a good thing. But sometimes people aren't holding it by that. So. Yeah.
On the topic of shiduchim, I'm wondering what your thoughts are for those both in and not yet in the parsha of dating, getting engaged, getting married while still in yeshiva versus waiting until you get a more financially stable, like my word, go forward, having kids, attending school, all of that stuff.
Yeah, everyone's life situation is unique, both in terms of their maturity, in terms of their emotional maturity, in terms of their finances, and there's no one answer for everybody. Everyone has their own parsha, their own story, and that for some people it's a bit better to get earlier. Some people need to be a little bit older, and you need to have somebody who can be madrik you to see what's good for you. In other words, there's no one, one answer for everybody in this matter.
Obviously, speaking for myself, if it applies to others, then great. I feel a lot of times for myself, there's kind of like this like pre-yeshiva life and then post-yeshiva life where like a lot of things actually matter afterwards.
Pre-yeshiva?
Pre-yeshiva
means what?
you're not really involved, and then post yeshiva means you're a little more connected and care about.
Wait, I'm not following. Pre yeshiva means
what? Yeah, in high school.
High school. Pre yeshiva means pre yeshiva in Israel, you mean?
Yeah.
Pre yeshiva in Israel.
Pre yeshiva in Israel.
Yeah.
For the modern world. And then post yeshiva is another story.
Post yeshiva means when you come back from Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so what's. Yeah, so what's the question?
A lot of times, like, you develop something within your family of Nikia and cousins and aunts and stuff like that, and it gets to a point that once you reach a certain age, then you're saying to yourself, okay, I don't really want to do this anymore, but the other people are going to feel very hurt by it. At what point is it like a, okay, you just, like, let it happen to you and nothing happens, or do you just, you know, it's going to hurt their feelings, but
yeah, I think at a certain point, if you're consistent, if you're consistent, and then people know you're sincere. So in the beginning, it might be a little, but they'll get over it. And the person's sincere in the end, and they know you're not a double standard, and you're honest, and you're straight. They'll respect it in the end. So even though in the beginning it might be a little, but in the end. If you you show what you believe in, and you show also that you care about them, you're not just being a cold person, you know, then I think it'll all work out fine.
And then it applies to only to the outside of like sister and mother and grandmother. Everything outside of that, or is that even?
Right. No, so the word sister is not mother, grandmother. Is that all? Sister, no, is not part of this heter.
Does Rebbe know anything about these rumors that came out an hour ago that he was pushing for Hawaii?
Does Rebbe
know anything about this?
All I know is he was my shear together with Rabbi Tuchman.
Many years ago.
How does Rabbi see the fear of a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael?
So I think also it's a personalized situation, because some people will be able to live their lives in Eretz Yisrael. You know, the Emil Tzedakah has a tshuva. He says that like there's no mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael if you're going to be a poor in Eretz Yisrael. So if you can't make a parnasa there, you shouldn't go. So that's one thing. You have to see that you can make a parnasa in Eretz Yisrael. And for some people, it's not such a good idea. I don't hold that everyone should, you know, there's a shame when the gula comes and this, but some people, they'll do better here. Some people will do better there. But I'm not a believer that we tell everyone you have to make aliyah, etc.
Even if they could make
the parnas. Yeah, the parnas is one aspect. There could be other things.
I'm curious how Rebbe relates to the term modern orthodoxy and how we should be doing that in relation to orthodoxy bekwalah.
I don't know. Terms, you know, don't really mean, you know. If you a person, he's a person who's shor b'torah mitzvos, or he's not shor b'torah mitzvos, or he's a good, you know. I don't just, you know, these terms, you know, it doesn't mean much. You know, you have to be a good Jew. You have to be another Mamakom, another Machavero. So there, in all these categories of people, there are people that fulfill that, and there are people who don't fulfill it. No one has the no one has the monopoly on good Jews versus, you know, they're, every community has their problems and has their problematic people, and we just have to make sure that we we're honest people, we're Ehrlich people, and we're keeping Torah and mitzvahs, and whatever category it happens to be, based on the social settings, that's the tough one. In other words, So it's considered a certain level of kavod when you don't speak in third person. There's a episode of Truvas Arashpa someplace that discusses Hashem, how it works. Hashem, I guess, is a different type of relationship.
I heard.
Different backgrounds, and based on their backgrounds, they're associated with different groups, etc. But the point being is, no one has the monopoly on good people or Ehrlicher people. In every group, there are Ehrlicher people, and every group, unfortunately, has people that are not Ehrlich. And they're not, just because a person associates with one group doesn't make them automatically tzaddikim. And just because they're in that group doesn't. So there are Ehrlicher people in all the groups, and there are not Ehrlicher people in all the groups. And you have to be a Yashar and a Yirei Shemayim. Of course, you see, socially, when you're going to get married, so you're not going to marry some Hasidic girl because you're not socially in that. Doesn't mean they're better than you're better. It's different, social groups of, like someone once said, it's different cultures. But in terms of, what's considered a higher, thing, that's a different. Not really. You have to be Yerushalayim. You have to be honest. You have to be this. You'll have to meet where you're gonna go. You have to see where you're comfortable, which social, but that's not the core, That's not the core of what a person is.
Do you have your home based on certain hashkafot?
Yeah, of course you should have your home based on certain hashkafot. But that's whoever you are. There's a Shulchan Aruch that's binding for everybody. There's Yashrus that's binding for everybody.
Is there a certain point where one should, if one is not married by a certain point, is there a certain point where they should recognize that they're probably not going to be, or should they just keep searching regardless of how long it takes?
Every situation is different, and I believe that a person really wants to get married, then there's enough people out there that it could be done. Not to have yeish on this. There's a there's a broad pool of people, and in this generation we have abilities of connecting people who otherwise would never have been knowing each other, you know, because we have technology that can do it. We have people that are even in my day, I mean, shidduchim has gone a long way since when I started dating till today, in terms of people helping other people and things like that, and the ability of connecting different people from different needs, etc. So we should never have an attitude of yeish, but one shouldn't get depressed if it hasn't come yet.
Is it worthwhile to be trying our hand at the kind of having with friends who are already present interests before we ourselves are married?
Say it again.
Is it worthwhile for people who are single to be trying to set up friends of theirs who are currently in the parsha?
If you have an idea, just because you're not married doesn't mean it can't be a good idea.
Does Rabbi feel that why he does enough mitzvah tzionut, to speak more about Eretz Yisrael and not Yisrael stuff? Because in Israel there's a big discussion about the Am, the Medina. At least where I went to yeshiva, there was a big talk about not just.
Where do you go to yeshiva?
So they spoke about a lot about tzionut and stuff, but really like in general there was sort of a Rav Lipton theme who. One of the reasons why he left was because he was upset that, why you didn't speak about the 6-day war enough after or during 67 or after 67. So that's what I heard. That one of the reasons why he decided to make Aliyah. So I was just wondering if that's it doesn't seem like it's spoken about so much, and it seems like in terms of learning Torah, it seems like people do it more on an individual basis. What can I do? How much can I get in my feeling of Torah? But yes. We don't address the sort of the general,
In Eretz Yisrael, it's more, Rabbi Bar Chaim. He was the Rebbe here. See, before Rabbi Goldberg came in the long time ago, there was another Rebbe who came. We would have a whole program every year. A different Rebbe would come from Eretz Yisrael. And then Rabbi Goldberg came, and then he stayed, and then that became the program. So Rabbi Bar Chaim was the year before him. So he made a comment once, like after it was right after Rosh Hashanah. He felt that in America people daven Rosh Hashanah is more for personal needs, etc. And in Eretz Israel they're davening about the community, more communal type of thing. But I think that's something in Eretz Yisrael, you have that more sense of, because of the whole situation, there's all the different nations that are surrounding it, the whole situation of Eretz Yisrael and people who are, not friends of, of Eretz Yisrael, who are whatever. So that breeds a whole different, atmosphere. In the Chutz La'aretz, you don't have that as much, but that doesn't mean that whatever you hold dear to you, you could still feel connected to them here or wherever you are. But that sense is going to, just by definition, is going to be more pervasive over there than here. What else? Yeah.
When someone's dealing with tzaras, like struggling with stuff or a particular thing, in your opinion, how should one find a balance between saying, like, I'm going to adopt a position, try and change it, and stepping back and saying, like, Shemron's the world, like, what's going to happen is going to happen with that?
It's no steer. In other words, we dive in from the perspective of what we see is good or bad. Hashem might know that whatever we think is not so good maybe is really good. But we have to daven from our perspective, and Hashem can decide. He knows whether you know, whether to listen to us or to, that he knows better. So you daven from what the perspective of what you think is good for you or for whoever you're davening for.
Right. But isn't there also the idea that if you daven hard enough for something and Hashem will, even if you don't necessarily, even if it's not necessarily in your best interest, then Hashem might give it to you anyway?
Maybe, or maybe not. You know, I mean, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, going to take our tefillos and, you know how to deal with them. So it's not like Hashem is this naive, you know, person that, oh, whatever you say, you know, it's more, much more, you know, complex than that. So you have to daven from your perspective. You're not a Navi, you're not Hashem, but you have to daven from your perspective.
I guess relating back to the sort of the Sionic question, but you know, every generation, you know, we daven and say the Ani Mamim and stuff for every day, and we say Ani Mamim, but when Shlomo Zias Hamashiach, and you know, as the generations go on, there's this concept of Yerida Sederus, and I guess not to be like heretical in any way, but what makes our generation more deserving to see the Mashiach than any other previous generation, the Rambam or the Rambans or all the other great rabbis who lived before us and great people? What makes us?
No, it might not be that we're great, we're right than them, but maybe the time, you know, whatever this mind that Hashem might come, might be now. Even though they were maybe greater than us. They were greater than us, but still doesn't mean that it can't come now, just because it didn't come then, and they were bigger tzaddikim, which maybe now is this man. Or maybe not. You know, we're mitzapel, we're Yeshua, we should try to do the right thing, which, the, you know, we're ma'amin that it could come at any time.
What does Rebbe think about Simi Mekubalim?
It's a very good question. Mekubalim is a very complex thing because, you know, a person's asking some serious question to somebody and you want to make sure that, you know, this is an authentic, the question is who's authentic, who's not authentic. So, in general, I'm not sending people to Mekubalim. There are people who send people to Mekubalim. You know, I think the better thing, I say l'charav, that you should make a Rebbe who knows you, who cares about you, who has Yirah Shemayim, who might not be a Mekubal, but, you know, sometimes it's just, I'm not saying there aren't good Mekubalim, but it's hard to know who's who, and someone just the other day was coming to me, telling me about a situation in the family where somebody was very into Mekubalim, making all the decisions based on the particular Mekubal. You know, and maybe this, I'm not saying this Mekubal is not, but it's really not part of our, you know, Mesorah of the generations, just we go to Mekubalim and we can go get a bracha. But I think also this, forget Mekubalim, just the idea that people go to some big name people in Eretz Yisrael and this and ask for advice, that's not necessarily the derech that I steer my Talmidim. Get a bracha, get hurt, ask, you want to discuss something in learning. But to say, oh, you go here, and whatever this person tells you, you know, and then especially when we're not talking about whether I should make him a mezonos or a pri adama or something. I'm talking about big life decisions, you know. you have to be very, very careful. You know, sometimes it's easier. You go to this, but I think the way I would like to madrich talmidim is to get a kesher and someone and go to your rebbe, for that. And if he feels he's not can't answer it, then he could consult with maybe he thinks someone else or whatever. But just saying, go to this person. He doesn't really understand you. Because if a person doesn't really understand you, and you're asking about a life decision, they're not just asking about pshat and taisus. Can be very dangerous. And I'm sure no one. I'm not making chas v'shalom negative about any mekubel, anybody. But it's hard to know. And to make life decisions based on this thing. That's not the mahalach that I usually work with. Yeah, Joe.
I was able to think about emergence Hasidic teachings in the Jewish world, modern world.
I have no problem with Hasidic teachings, and you want to learn. The Kedushas Levi, you want to learn, instead of just learning the Beis HaLevi, you want to learn Kedushas Levi, you want to learn the... So it's fine. The idea of way people want to dress is, a lot of it has to do with people who need something to latch on with. I think a lot of it has to do with certain insecurities. And... So they feel if they'll dress this way. See, if mele you come from a family, that's your mesorah. So you come from that. So then that's where you come from. But you don't come from that. So I'm not saying that you can't. There's no one who wants feels that they want to live their life that way. But I'm not saying I don't think you necessarily have to. You could live a wholesome from Jewish life, not necessarily being Hasidish. It became a very popular thing in this generation, and for some people it works well, but no one should think that a person is a higher, better Jew just because his coat is longer or he has a certain type of hat or a certain type of thing. And a certain, I happen to like beards for halachic reasons, but not because
but most of the things you can see on the outside more about devoting a lot of time and to a certain way that's not necessarily like if someone is spending a lot of his time learning Rabinathan,
right, so
all of a sudden he's going to Rabinathan.
Okay, he wants to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, so if he's not married, just Mela. He's married. Then it's not so simple. There are, Talmidei Chacham that go also to, it's not only just people who are just dancing and singing in the streets. There are serious Talmidei Chacham you shouldn't feel that that's, if you don't do that, then you have to be a very grounded person. You have to be a balanced person, a grounded person, and I think the answer has to be very individualized, the answer, as opposed to saying everyone should be going to Uman, or everyone should not be going to Uman or everything, I think every person is his own.
Can Rabbi briefly expand on the halakhic reasoning for in years?
Yeah, I have shiurim on law. I gave a whole series of shiurim. The discussions of shaving, Rav Moshe others think that maybe not. So that's a question of what's called a razor, and what's if it's too close to the shave, maybe that's also like a razor, or things like that. So So, you know, so I'm not saying that a person's clean shaven is in the Yirah Shemayim. I'm not saying that if the Moshe gave a kula, so if, you know, provided that you're following the kula the right way, whatever that is. But there is, you know, a mile of, you know, you'd give them this in different svarim writes write about it, and Bnei Soskar and others. So I, you know, and even Rav Moshe's brother, Rav Michal Sharkin, writes it to Sefer that Rav Moshe said the reason he never published a tshuva about the shaving, even though he told people orally that it's okay, is because he really thinks people should have a beard, and but he thinks that then it's mutter if it's done properly. So, but you'll see online. I have a whole series, just like we have a series on Shemekha Ona and a series on me. There's a series there on shaving as well. So, Ayin Shom, if you hear the whole full this year. I think sometimes it's overdone. You know, what's a school for this? What's a school for that? The school for everything is you be a Yirei Shemayim, and you be a Baal Chesed, a Yosher, you do mitzvahs, you do chasadim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Shefa Bracha to you. If you do this ribbon, and that ribbon, and this ribbon, that's not the Yiddishkeit that we should be. Not saying there can't be certain things that a school is for this, but the Shefa Bracha comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you're Hashem Tzilcha, right? That's Rechaim Velozhna, HaKadosh. If Hashem brings to you the way you act to others, you act to others with Rachamim Chesed, Hashem will shower that upon you as well. This person has a red band of this, but he doesn't act nice to people. I don't know how what good is the school, you know what I mean? People overdo because they want this generation. Sometimes they want simple, you know. But so it is. You act with chesed and rachamim to people. Hashem will reciprocate to you as well, whatever you need in that way as well. So without all these fancy, so we should minimize the. I'm not saying maybe some schools have more makaris and things like that, but the schools shouldn't be the. The ikkar should be, you know, Hashem Tzilcha, the chesed, the rachamim, Torah that you bring into the world.
You'll have a good month, and if it's not clear, you won't have a good month. So, or sometimes we'll say it in very definitive, like schools will be written, and that's not really schools, but sometimes have schools that are written, I think the Chidah has a section in the paper on schools really be written, like if you do this, then you'll get the
So it probably should be taken into, this is something positive in the general mix. Doesn't mean that this could be a clincher. You know, this guy's bad, and he doesn't do, you know, so but he did this, so that's one thing within the that Akash Baruch Hu takes into the puts into the mix.
Apparently, we know that he is supposed to add one rub and then ask another rub for talking on that certain halakha, and you shouldn't go shopping cool up especially. When it comes to Hashka Book, you ask one rabbi, yes, many, are you supposed to be mitbatel as soon as you hear your rabbi make the call? Should you do exactly what he says, or are you supposed to think about it yourself and think it should make sense to you? Or is there some kind of definition of the rabbi?
Right. Every situation is different, and, you know, it's not so great to, you know, to just go shopping too much. You know, like Rabbi Abadi once said, you have so many people you ask, you can get confused, you know. But it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, as you get older, you could have some, your opinion will also develop as well. You know, but, you know, as I said before, you should have a keshe with somebody who understands you and knows you and is a balanced type of person. Okay, what was I? So I think we covered. Okay, we should do it. We should do more. Okay, one more question.
I don't want to leave on this question, but it's a good question to sign up. What does Rebbe feel about women's issues nowadays? Like, you know, giving women more opportunities. So.
Okay, maybe we should pick up with that.
We can do next time.
No, I mean, in general,
where do we draw the line?
I think sometimes in this generation, women are not happy with the role that they... Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, you can't have... You know, the Chafetz Chaim, he basically, you know, the whole Beis Yaakov movement, and it was a chiddush, you know, to have women who are more involved in learning. So, has to be done with a tremendous Yirah Shemayim to know where the and somebody who's Adam Gadol to navigate, because or else people, it gets out of hand and things do get out of hand and have gotten out of hand. So you know, because in this generation we're in a generation that has a lot of Keres and sometimes, you know, you need someone who has you know, who's cool Torah to be able to help navigate whether a certain idea is really coming from the outside world or it's something that, you know, the Chofetz Chaim is a person who, you know, who's cool Torah, and if he felt that the Beis Yaakov movement was something good for that the time, or even that time. So that's where it came from. So it's, you know, but sometimes people who are not necessarily like the Chafetz Chaim or, you know, who are calling these ideas, so then sometimes these ideas could be really coming from, you know, the secular world, and the secular values, etc. There's more to say, but okay, I think we said, so it was nice having this, you know, to do it more often. And okay, and anyone who has other questions at any time, you can always ask. Okay, so we'll get a bench now, we'll clean up, and then we'll have a little break, and then we'll come back around 1:30 and have shiur.